God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Tonight we continue our concept of God's comfort, especially when you are doubting God's word. What's interesting about this title, it says when, not if. Based on the fact that you are human beings and you are baptized by our Lord, I can guarantee this is going to be a when, not an if. It will happen. Why? Not because of any, quote, lack of faith, but because of the sinfulness of our nature. Let me put it this way. When God gives faith, it's like that on-off switch. It was once off, now it's on. Scripture speaks about it this way. We were once dead, now we are alive. So using that as a comparison and contrast here, can you ever be half alive? I know some people claim to be that way, especially on Monday morning. But I mean, realistically, can you really be half alive? You either are alive or you are dead. Plain and simple. But very often, we sometimes hear in Christian vocabulary about weakness of faith, about how some people are stronger in the faith, and some people might be weaker in the faith. Unfortunately, you don't necessarily see this in Scripture. The most you see in Scripture is a man who comes to Jesus and says, I believe, help my unbelief. And so we see a little bit of that tension there. Within the person, there is still belief, but yet also within the person, there is that unbelief. Where does this come from? Basically, our sinful human nature. So even though we are baptized into Christ, we still have our human nature that sometimes wants to resist Christ. That a resistance for Christ is strong. I will admit, I saw an interesting discussion on the internet. It was actually a discussion based upon people who were once baptized into Christ, but have definitely rejected the faith. And they were talking about trying to get an unbaptismal certificate, which I thought was very humorous. How can one get unbaptized? Fair enough, you can reject the faith completely, in which they have done, but it's not like there's any rite or ritual. You just do not put your faith and trust in the promises of God. Now, what happens when hardship comes into our lives? What about the various other failures or difficulties that we sometimes have to experience? And it's not difficult for us to admit that not every single day is a fantastic, wonderful day. And we also have to realize that, yes, we are sinners. We have fallen short of God's glory, and we have committed many wrongs. Yet all these negative influences, all these negative aspects may conclude in some people that the person is of weak faith, but not necessarily. That's a wrong assumption. Do you believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Do you have that bold confidence that when you look at the cross of Jesus Christ, you see your Savior? And you say, yes, that is what I believe. That is what I cling on to. Do you believe that God has completely forgiven you all your sins for the sake of Jesus Christ? I hope and pray you say, I do believe. But unfortunately, sometimes as Christians, the best we could hope for is, well, I hope so. I think so. Maybe. If you ever fall into that category, if you don't have the assurance, the guarantee in the back of your mind that, yes, your sins are forgiven, and yes, through Christ, you have eternal life, then maybe our text for today from Matthew chapter 15 will give you some comfort. When you begin to feel doubtful or wonder whether God can truly forgive all your sins, we turn to Matthew. And as we hear about how God and a particular woman interact, we might be saying, how is this any hope for us? It almost seems that Jesus was a little rude here. Jesus is approached by a woman who says, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon, and he ignores her. She apparently goes after the disciples, and the disciples say to Jesus, send her away. Let's just get rid of her. Jesus finally replies and says, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the people of Israel. She wasn't from Israel. However, she wasn't going to take no for an answer. Somehow she knew that Jesus the Christ was her Savior, her deliverer. She says, Lord, help me. And then again, now even insults of insults. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, referring to her as a dog. She says, yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Even in the midst of being rejected by Christ, so to speak, not really. Jesus, I think, knew her faith. She still hung on to and said, yes, I'm going to hang on to Jesus with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. And guess what? Her request was granted. Now, to us, we might sit there and say, wow, I wish I had that kind of faith. I wish I had that type of boldness. I wish I believed as strong as this woman did. Well, let me ask you, were you not baptized into this name of the same Christ? Do you not necessarily hear the same words of God? And better yet, you even have one up on her. We don't even know whether she ever received Christ himself in that bread and wine. But you have. Let me tell you, this day you have the same faith she had. A faith that clings to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so whenever any doubt enters your mind, because it will enter, our sinful nature is going to cause that doubt, if not the world around us. We look to the cross of Christ and say, there is our Savior, there is her Savior. We have the same faith and trust in the same Savior. There's no degrees of faith here. You are in Christ or you are not in Christ. So when we struggle with doubts, we also struggle with the whole concept of the forgiveness of sins. And so what do we do at that point? We need to go back to our baptism and remember, yes, that we were baptized. It is God is the one who gives you this faith. It is God is the one who creates this faith within you. However, we might be sitting there going, but Pastor, there are sometimes I just feel alone and I feel distant. I don't feel that connection there. We have to realize from a human perspective, we may feel the knowledge of God and his gospel message in us grow. We have those emotional commitments that grow and fade away in life. But like the father of the child who cried out to Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. And also like Peter, who had a failing faith, who even denied Christ. We have to realize that faith is God's gift. Such fluctuations of an individual's experience on how they feel does not change the way how God feels about you and what God has done for you. Just because you may feel alone and afraid does not take away the fact that Jesus died on the cross, does it? Just because you feel alone and afraid and in doubt doesn't undo your baptism. These are facts. So in the midst of our feelings, where it's sometimes we might think that our relationship is weaker, we look to the cross. We remember our baptism and say, God has not changed, and He is the one who has given us this faith. And since He is the one who has given us this faith must still be there. And notice what our Lord even says in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is Jesus expecting you to come with supposedly a strong faith? No, as our Savior says, He came for the sick. If you are not sick, then you don't need a physician. He comes to those who are sick. He comes to those who are sinners. And so if you haven't sinned, you don't need a Savior. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 puts it this way. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Paul then concludes, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. These are not words by someone who says, you got to have a strong faith in order to enter heaven. No, these are words of someone who struggles with his human sinful nature and realizes he needs a Savior. And in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our doubts, the power of Christ comes through. So it is in the midst of our loneliness, it's in the midst of our despair, it's in the midst when we're even sort of doubting, that we sit there and say, okay, Lord, I can't do it. And now we're at the right spot. For Christ's power, given to you through baptism, through His word, through the Lord's Supper, to come through and say, it's not about your doing. It's about what Christ has done for you. Can you ever unbaptize? Yes, some atheists would like, who were once baptized, to be unbaptized. And here's the funny thing about that discussion. As these atheists are sometimes rejecting the Christian faith, they struggle with something. Because once you've been touched by God, you really can't be untouched by God, can you? Yeah, you can reject it. You can push it aside, and unfortunately they have done so, but it still haunts them. That precious good news that God has touched their lives with the forgiveness of sins, even when their rational mind is saying no to all this, still nags at them. That they want to do some sort of rite or ceremony to undo this. Rejection is not the same as doubt. So, I know it's a strange way to find comfort. The next time that we are doubting, remember those atheists who are trying to undo their baptism, and they can't. I'm going to get into trouble if my district president hears about this one. But okay, let me move on here. The whole concept here is baptism is God's work. You can't undo it. So in the midst of doubt, go back to what God has done for you. What He has done for you through His word and sacrament, and what He continues to do for you. Yes, the doubts will come. But we also know, our Lord and Savior says, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So we take comfort that even in the midst of our doubts, Christ is glorified. So like the man who approached Jesus and said, "I believe, help my unbelief," we also come before our Lord and Savior today and say, "I believe, help my unbelief. Strengthen my faith. Continue to help me trust in you." And as the Lord has given us this faith, he will continue to draw us closer to him. That is why we come and receive his supper, Christ himself, in that bread and wine, for the forgiveness of our sins, the assurance, the guarantee of God's comfort for you here and now, even in the midst of many doubts and many questions. But God is there for you. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.